Yeah, I was born in the 1943 in Pontotoc, Mississippi. Segregated Mississippi, of course, and I went to all black schools when I was in Mississippi. I grew up, and I went to the Army in 1962 and spent 3 years there and came back to Pontotoc, Mississippi, and worked in a factory for about a month. Decided that wasn't for me, and I left and went to Rockford, Illinois, in 1965. And I like to tell a story about how I had a high school education when I left and arrived in Rockford with $20 in my pocket. And today I have a master's degree and a published author, and so I like to tell that story. So I think it's an interesting story of the growth of which I've personally experienced in that short period of time from 1965 and until the present day. And I've had the occasion to be recruited all over the country, in the South to manage police departments, appointed by the President of the United States to be a United States Marshal. And presently, I'm working with the City of Springfield as a consultant to help with their minority recruitment.
And so, as you just mentioned, you have a host of titles, including motivational speaker, author, historian, and the U.S. Marshal one, I guess, grabs a lot of attention. And explain for people who might not know, what were your duties as you were doing that?
Well, my duties here were right across the street from where we are today at the Federal Building, 600 East Monroe Street, was my office for 8 years. And I was appointed by President Clinton in 1994 for the Central District of Illinois. And that my responsibilities, including running the 46 counties that falls within the Central District of Illinois. And that responsibility included fugitive apprehension, bringing people to court, and just basically administration of that district. And we had quite a bit of interaction in terms of minority recruitment at that level. And so we changed the culture of the district while I was here. And then I got appointed the chairperson for the Directors Advisory Committee in DC. And I chaired that for 3 years. And I held nationwide hearings in the Marshal Service on discrimination and recruitment. And we finally did a report on that. And fortunate enough, we get received an award for that from the Marshal Service. So our work in terms of community, in terms of minority recruitment is known nationwide.
And I'm assuming a lot of the valuable perspective you have comes from the time you served as chief of police in Jackson, Mississippi, as well. How did the two areas you were in compare? Was discrimination as big of a problem here in Springfield as you were noticing in the South?
Well, in the South, the population is totally different. In the police department that I had there, I had a 70-30 ratio African-American in the department versus 30% white. And I think now that's probably changed to 80-20 at this present time in Jackson. And the political process in the Jackson and the availability of black candidates from colleges and all over the South, where the population, and especially in Mississippi, runs about 40% African American, we don't have that much of a problem recruiting. And but here in the Central, in Springfield, the comparison is totally different, where we have only about 5.2% African American out of a workforce about 250. And fortunately, hopefully that's going to change. And we know a culture is perpetuates a lot of these things. And that I think that we in the culture in the South is different because it's so well integrated. And so that's one of the major factors that I've always seen in terms of and when we're comparing a northern police department to a southern police department.
Just that the racism maybe is more ingrained there, or is that what you're saying?
Well, I grew up in the South, and I tell people all the time, regardless of what the condition was, it was normal until we found out that it was abnormal. And then when we in the South found out that it was abnormal, we had the political clout and the political muscle to move these things. And here we don't find when we got an 18% minority population, black population, in the Springfield area, and very seldom have high-ranking officers in the police department that has the ability to move things and be innovative, we find that we struggle. That's totally different in the South, especially in the departments, two departments where I served, in the Savannah, Georgia Police Department and the Jackson Police Department. We had the ability to move things.
I'm Rachel Otwell. This is Illinois Edition. We're listening to a conversation I had with Robert Moore. He's a lead consultant for the Land of Lincoln chapter of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. He's doing consulting work now for the city of Springfield, making recommendations on how to improve minority recruitment, retention, and community relation programs. And so you've been an analyst when it comes to increasing the roles that black people and minorities play in the police force, which obviously part of that takes hiring. But what are some of the key suggestions that, you know, you've been able to realize along the way?
Well, when I was with the Illinois State Police, I was at the forefront of changing that culture and that workforce makeup from 1.9 black to 27.5. minorities and female. That was 40 years ago in the state police. And that you don't ever see the state police being depicted in the newspaper as having made the problem, because we tried to change that culture years ago and change the internal policy. And one of the things that was so prevalent in the state police is we put an infrastructure in place where I was the EEO director, and I reported directly to the directors.
And the EEO is?
Equal Employment Opportunity Office. And we call it a diversity office nowadays, or an office of inclusion, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But we put that office in place way back in 1977. And it changed that workforce. It gave me the clout that I needed, that being reporting directly to directors of the state police, that I was able to move policies. And that's the key, one of the key factors that I feel any police department that is going to put together a program that is going to retain minorities and female have to have an infrastructure that is going to not only recruit the minorities, but retain them and provide support to them when they come in. Because if you find that you come into a department where culture is hostile, it is going to not be able to maintain and retain those officers. So we have to have that support system built in order to get what we need to do.
And what are some ways to change a culture where maybe, you know, the white people working there aren't used to working with people of color? Or what are some of the challenges?
The challenges that we have to recognize is that we have to begin to talk about the total issue. Can't be afraid to talk about the issue. We've got to sit down together and put some of these things in writing. And just like one of the things that we've found here in the city, there was a article written by Ms. Belinsky from the State Journal Register on the history of black police officers in Springfield. I'd never seen that before until recently. But it describes the entire culture, and we have to look at that. People have to read that. They have to read what we're dealing with in order to make changes.
What were some of the things she brought to light with the article?
Well, the culture here was talking about the officers interviewed in that article talked about how they had to leave the department because they felt they weren't welcome. and that they had to file a discrimination complaint against the department, and constantly did that. And that just created more tension, created more problems for everybody. And that created a culture, created an image that we're still kind of, I think we're still dealing with that. And but we've got to bring it to the forefront that if we're ever going to deal with it.
One of the books you wrote is called All the President's Men. And it's, while we're on this topic, can you give us a little bit of the synopsis?
When I became the marshal here in Central Illinois, I'm always, as a researcher and a historian, and I always want to know who came before me. I want to know the history of that department. And when I started looking at who had been appointed marshals before me, I discovered that one person, Frederick Douglass, had been appointed in 1877. But only there was no write-up on him, other than the fact that President Rutherford B. Hayes had appointed him simply because the radical Republicans were raising heck about not having Afro-Americans in the... So he appointed Douglass in 1877. In fact, March 17th, coming up this year, will be 140 years that Douglass was appointed. But as I looked at the provisos, the history, I could find nothing that we had contributed as marshals to the history of the making of this nation. And that disturbed me a little bit. And so as I began to get more comfortable in my role as U.S. Marshal, and I began to do what I do best, is to research stuff, and then I start to write. And so I first put together an exhibit in 1999 to depict to the local people here what the history of the Marshal Service was. Then I went and I did a PowerPoint presentation. And then in 2010, I said, I need a better vehicle to educate the nation. And so the book was raised. What we found out, we were all left out of history.
The
black U.S. Marshals were left out of history. To date, there has been about 68 of us that has been appointed in the 226 years of service. But only 9 presidents has appointed us, and we're patiently waiting to see what the Trump administration is going to do in terms of appointing black marshals. The history of Republicans is bleak. Out of the 226 years, they've only appointed 19 Afro-American marshals in that over that period of time. President Obama appointed 21 in his term. President Clinton appointed 21 in his term. So just 2 presidents on the Democratic side has done marvelous things with appointing black marshals. So the book, there is no excuse now, because we published the book, for everybody to see the records of the both Democrats and the Republican presidents in terms of their appointment records. But the key factor is at the state level, where the U.S. representatives and the U.S. senators make those recommendations to the president. And so the key really is right here in Illinois for all of the appointments here coming up out of Illinois.
This is Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell. We've been speaking with Springfield man Robert Moore of Robert Moore and Associates Police Community Consultants. He's working with the city of Springfield, making recommendations on how to improve things like minority recruitment and retention, as well as community relation programs. Robert Moore also used to be a federal marshal. A couple of the other times you and I talked, once was at the Citizens Police Academy that happens in Springfield on a yearly basis. You were part of that program, which to me was like, okay, I think you probably you're probably well aware of what police do, but you were doing that, you know, in hopes of continuing the kind of work you're doing.
Yes.
And I also came across you, we talked at a Black Lives Matter protest. And so, of course, in the last few years, issues of racism on the police force have been kind of thrust into the public eye because of these shootings. And you talked at the time about how there are systemic issues that need addressed. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think what we're talking about is, yes, there are systemic issues that are always got to be addressed. And I think from the Black Lives Matter situation, I think we have, what has been created is an unhealthy situation out there simply because of agitation from both sides. And I think we got to get past that. And what we've seen is the systemic issues involving the police department itself is just simply policies that continue to be perpetuated from one generation to the next. But those systemic policies, just like if you continue to do the same thing, as I say, do the same thing the same way, you're going to perpetuate those same systemic policies. So we have to step outside of the box. We have to be innovative. We have to try different things. We have to have people like me coming along pushing the button sometime, if you will, in order to make sure that these systemic things get changed. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to have the people frustration, and that's what we see locally, I think. We see some frustration. We've seen people that just don't want to be involved with the process anymore because they've had such a historical review or historical thing happened to them that you just get tired. You just get tired of beating your head against the wall and not seeing any progress. And I think that we're going to be able to see some changes with the mayor and the chief of police, Chief Winslow. They are doing some magnificent things in terms of trying to change that culture here.